he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the Dove survived. That's reading you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, as always, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California, Northern California. This is where all the magic happens. I can't believe it. Today is Friday, September 13th, 2013. I know what you're thinking. You're probably like, What a scary omen. That's bad. 13, 13, and 13, and Friday the 13th? Relax. All that is just superstition. I mean, come on. Has anything bad ever happened to anybody else? Certainly not DDP and guest 1616, who is in our chat room. If you're not in our chat room, get in the chat room. That's where we need you the most. Because I expect a lot of conversation happening today on the show, in the chat room, and possibly through phone calls. I'm more than willing to accept your phone calls if you would like to do so. Well, very quickly before we get into the show, got to say happy birthday to some fellow group members of mine. It's simply called The Group. I am a part of that group. It is a wrestling group. Got to say happy birthday to Luann and Rhonda. Happy birthday. Oh, man. Birthdays everywhere. Birthdays everywhere. It's awesome. Today is our final show of the summer. No. I wish summer could stay. You know, I was telling some friends on social media, I told you guys this last week. Let's skip wintertime. Let's just keep summer. Summer can stay here forever. Never leave, right? And speaking of forever, today there's a huge amount of audio clips that will be played, plus lots of, well, it's one big surprise to send you off into your last summertime. You're going to enjoy the last few days of summer, and then bam, after this, that's it. So I'm going to send you off before the show goes off the air. You're going to be like, that was awesome. What a way to send us off, riding into the sunset with our last final day of summer. And you're going to get it all from me here, right here on the Sports Opinion Show. But before we get into all the fun stuff, as I do all the time, first, you know, we always have to do the serious stuff first and get that out of the way, because, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk all about a very, you know, personal issue, and that is being fired. People have been fired over the years from different companies, different jobs, different aspects, but in the world of sports, it hurts even more. Whether you're an NFL player, a hockey player, and in some cases, even just a wrestling announcer. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, this topic has been huge. it's been one of the hottest topics so far of the week. And it's topped any other week. But also there's other news in that it's very, very important that we're going to discuss in just a few minutes. Because, first of all, one person involved with the media has made the media look bad, okay? Real bad, and it all transcends and it's all revolving around Coach Jim Mora, UCLA's head coach. This has to be one of the stupidest things that a member from the media can do. Now, quite consequently, it has blown over. And people say, well, you know, that's life, and coach, you should just forgive and forget. No. Even us here on Blog Talk Radio, we're not the big mainstream media type people, but we still, you know, once in a while, I know most of you were here back in May of this year when we had Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. I did all the work in inviting him on the show and doing the interview, being very respectful of him. See, so in a way, we kind of are like, we are exactly like the major media people. We can't just be rude and condescending. So on behalf of Blog Talk Radio, this idiot that was at the Jim Mora press conference made all of us look bad. Made all of us look really stupid. You can't do the things that he did. And let's just say that, I mean, damn. Basically, to put it quite bluntly, everything on today's show, you're going to be like, what the hell? Are you serious? I am very serious because, I mean, I'm going to throw some jokes in there too like I normally do. Because a lot of the things that you're going to hear with these audio clips, there's plenty of them, like I said, along with commentary from yours truly, there's going to be some big, big no-nos on this show. Big no-nos. You just can't do this type of stuff because it makes you look really bad, and this guy's case is going to make him look really, really stupid. Now, I know that some people are probably like, well, he's just a media, you know, expert guy. He's not going to get fired for what he did. Nothing could be further from the truth. You don't know that. Get ready because I'm going to play this audio clip right now. UCLA coach Jim Mora had left a news conference after media members interrupted his comments on the death of his first brand new wide receiver, Nick Pulaski. And it's just, he was in the middle of giving his thoughts and with the news about the walk-on receiver, Nick Pulaski, when his phone rang. And you're like, what? Wait a minute, I'm confused. Jim Mora answered the phone during the press conference? No. Remember the media guy I was telling you about? His phone rang, and he didn't know how to handle the situation. So what did he do? He kept it up. And wait till you hear Jim Mora's reply. This is what the coach said to him. Check this out.
Well, thanks for being here. First of all, certainly, as you can understand, it's a very tragic time, a very difficult time here with the loss of Nick. First and foremost, our thoughts and prayers are with his family. That's the most important thing. Got to spend quite a bit of time with him yesterday, and it's obviously a very difficult time, as we can all imagine. And so we're just praying for him and his mother and his aunts and uncles, grandparents, sisters, and brothers. So our players are dealing with it. each in their own way, and we think that's the right way to do it. I think the important thing is that they're together. They're there to support each other. This is a very close team, as everyone knows. We care desperately about each other. And Nick was a young man that had a tremendous influence in our locker room. And while he only played a few plays on the field in his career at UCLA, and they...
Stop.
Hey, shut up. Disrespect to some people is unbelievable to me. Just unbelievable. Anyway. Don't tell me to go on. I'll go on. I'm ready to go on. Why don't you take your butt out of here if you're going to be disrespectful?
I apologize. I didn't mean to be.
Well, you were.
I'm sorry.
What do you guys think about that? Hey, shut up! This media guy had no business accepting his phone call. No business at all. And I know we had a caller on the line. If you'd like to call back in, you can do so now. But you just can't do that. You don't answer your phone when a coach is talking about one of his walk-on players, a young guy that the whole team was just starting to get to know. As we welcome Coffee into the chat room, I know Coffee's probably going to say some things about this. But this media guy had no business answering his phone. What? You didn't think nobody was going to notice that you're talking heck aloud on your phone? Hey, man, what's up, man? Oh, yeah, I'm over here at this press conference, man. Yeah, I'm standing in the same room with Jim Mora, the UCLA head coach. Hey, shut up! That's what Jim Mora said. And he's right. Totally disrespectful. Any member of the media, I don't care if it's Blog Talk Radio media or even the pros that are media members. No, but Coffee, the thing was, what happened was, I'll read you the story because this is ridiculous. Nick Pulaski was killed after being hit by a car early Sunday morning, and Mora was telling the media about what the young man meant to the team when a television technician from the media answered his phone, and he started saying that, you know, where he was at, and whoever he was talking to on the phone, he was obviously, he didn't know how to shut his mouth. I mean, I would have been like, I'm at a press conference. Can I call you back later? I would have been whispering it, or at least, better yet, what, you don't know how to put your phone on vibrate? What the hell is wrong with you? I mean, you can check out the Jim Mora walking out of the press conference on YouTube. And the way I just said it is the way it's titled. Jim Mora walked out on press conference. And you can either choose to watch the whole thing or fast forward to the minute 20 mark where he just gives him a complete death stare, like he's going to kick his ass. And I don't blame Jim Mora for having that look on his face like, dude, you better shut the hell up. Because that's what he said. He said, hey, shut up. And then I know you couldn't hear it in the audio clip, but, you know, this technician guy, he goes, well, okay, coach, go on, continue with what you were saying. And that's strike number two. You're talking about a coach that's grieving over a player that has just been killed a few days ago. And they're still grieving about this. And the TV technician has the nerve to say, oh, just go on. Just pretend I'm not here. No, it's too late. He even apologized, as you heard in the audio clip, but the damage was already done. There's no way you can go back and erase that. That's one of those things where I heard earlier this week that when you throw a word out and you're like, No, I didn't mean to say that. And you want to grab the word back so bad because you didn't mean to say that word. Well, that was strike number two for this guy. Go on. And coach said, don't tell me to go on. Man, why don't you get the hell out of here, man? Just get out of here. And the guy did leave, but Jim Mora also left, and that's why he said, I need to go outside and get some air. But a few hours later, he ended up coming back, and he met with the regular media people, and he made sure the guy that interrupted him the first time wasn't there, but he finished the press conference, and there's another video about that. So, hey, yeah, you don't ever do that. And I know some people might say, well, damn, Coach, come on, Coach Mora, you can't. What the heck? Whatever your thoughts or feelings about Jim Mora, forget about it, because he was totally justified in his actions with the audio clip you just heard. Because he had to deal with, you know, the past 24 hours trying to console his parents, on top of that, consoling the team, trying to decide if he's going to let, you know, his players play the upcoming games next week. Now that football season is in, but he just lost one of his players. And first of all, the media member should have never answered his phone. That's a basic rule of etiquette. Well, you're at a news conference. Second, he should have never told Jim Mora, as I mentioned earlier, to go on. And third, he should have apologized while he was on the phone. I know some people might say, well, wait a minute, isn't that rude to somebody that you're on the phone with? No, if you're on the phone with somebody, and if the person just told you that to shut up, then you say sorry immediately. You don't wait till after you already hung up. That's why I said the damage was already done. I know we're talking about getting fired and all that today, but if he gets fired, he gets fired, but I kind of hope he doesn't. But in the meantime, we're going to take this call and see what this is all about. 484, you're on the air.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, Eric?
Oh, man, it's another day, you know. Just got out of work. And
sorry.
I think I'd give you a call, you know, see I call in the show. Called the tail end of that that sound clip that you played. Just give me a quick, you know, what was that clip you played? Because I just called in. So,
well, that was Coach Jim Mora. He was trying to have a press conference, and a TV technician answered his phone and started talking heck aloud, and then Coach finally, you know, noticed what was going on, and Jim Mora looked over at him and he goes, "Hey, shut up." don't you believe that that's rude to answer the phone when you're at a press conference?
Are you there? Yeah, you know what? You're right. And that, you know what? That should have been handled a little bit differently. I mean, these guys are, you know, professionals. Jim Mora, professional. You know, he's trying to set. I mean, I think it's stupid that somebody would answer the phone and in the press conference and not just go outside, you know, and make the phone call outside and, you know, because other people, I mean, honestly, in all fairness, you kind of have to, like, you know, be respectful because you have a lot of people in there news-wise and, you know, I mean, all these college press conferences, you know, they'll have the newspapers there and, you know, something might not be heard and something might be thought that they heard it and, you know, you don't want negative press to get, you know, your team to get negative press. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny, but in the same token, it should have been handled a little bit better, in just my opinion. Just from what I'm getting at, seems like it should have been handled a little bit different. Not just shut up. Like, it shouldn't have been him that had to make that decision. It should have been somebody saying, hey, you know, from the actual the school should have, you know.
Well, hold on. Let me see if I can change your mind a little bit on that, because the other side of that is the reason why he was so filled with emotion, why he kept yelling at the guy and telling him to shut up and why don't you get on out of here if you're going to be disrespectful, because he just lost a player of his team that just got killed a couple of days ago in a terrible car accident. So he was telling the media about the loss of his player, and that's when this whole thing happened.
Right, but like on the same token, the guy should never have been on the phone. He should have took the phone call. The TV technician should have never answered the phone call in the first place. I mean, there's no need for that. I mean, honestly, you know how it is these days and age. People think that they say one thing, and TMZ, for example, they're after everybody. So, I mean, in this day and age, he had to kind of, go off on somebody and make an example of this person, And I would have, too. I think that's the right thing to do. You kind of have to set the tone for it. You can't really have people in their press conferences, whatever it is. I don't care what it is, game or, anything. And you don't want to send the wrong message to the media and say, hey, this is acceptable behavior, answering the phones and, I mean, it's kind of a smart idea to put the guy in place. Like I said, it should have been handled a little bit different, but I think, it happened, and there's really no turning back once you go that far,
Yeah, and then because Coach was still dealing with all the emotions of the loss of his player, and then the TV technician had the nerve to tell him, well, go on, finish what you were saying, and then he pissed him off even more. I wouldn't have said anything.
The TV technician should have just headed out and just left and let things calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And honestly, in my opinion, that's what the best thing should have been. I mean, when you get mad at somebody, you're not supposed to just go flip them out.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I'm sure everybody, checked out what took place with the Patriots and the Jets game. And it was an ugly game from the start, but it even ended even uglier.
Okay, now, once Talib has this, and there's no tackle, they're just run out of bounds. But look, he kind of dances and then steps back, and Mangold comes and hits him. Now, when that happens on the Patriots' sidelines, people don't like that. Okay, now get out of bounds. Okay, Mangold's late, and I don't like the hit at all, but I think they're both wrong. Talib shouldn't have danced on the sideline, and Mangold shouldn't have hit him.
And then the Patriots come to their cornerback's defense.
Yep.
And then the flags start flying, the officials start flying, and the bodies start flying.
Yep.
So what was a sloppy game is going to have a messy ending here.
That's well said, partner.
Oh man, even more craziness right here. I tell you, the Jets Patriots game coffee. I see what you put in the chat room. NHL 14 is a super fun game. I tried it out on demo at GameStop. I'll coffee, you just made me think of something, but I'll mention that before we go to our first commercial break in just a few minutes. But yeah, this whole Jets-Patriots game, it was bad from the start, but it even ended uglier. Because now three-fifths of the New York Jets offense could face tons of discipline action from the league. Thanks to center Nick Mangold, right guard Willie Colon, and left tackle DeBrickshaw Ferguson, all were involved in a big scrum at the end of the New England Patriots' 13-10 victory at Gillette Stadium last night. Now, if you saw this game, you know what I'm talking about. Mangold went for a low tackle on Patriots corner Albert Tidbit, who had just essentially sealed the victory with his second pick of the game with 38 seconds remaining. Instead of just going down or out of bounds, Tidbit dilly-daddled and danced on the sideline, and that's when Ferguson lost it, and he just went for a low tackle below the belt after the play was done. You can't. That's considered a late hit in the National Football League. And he took out his knees. And then things started happening even worse. That set off a huge chain reaction of a fight near the Patriots sideline that involved several players from both teams. Ferguson was seen throwing multiple punches, and Colon, Willie Cohen, you might get a huge, huge fine and suspension for this. He knocked out. He turned around and he, I don't know if he was thinking instinctively about, you know, a player from the other team, but it wasn't a player from the other team. He shoved and knocked down and forced to the ground one of the referee officials, which is a big no-no in the NFL. Ferguson and Cohen were flagged for their plays and ejected from the game. I mean, why would you eject two players if you know that there's only 30 seconds left in the game? But then again, I can see where the officials were coming from, you know, because they had tried to control both teams from the start. And it just, it got out of hand. And that's... oh, man. It's insane how they actually did that. And they just took it to heart and just started beating everybody up. And then Cohen goes and he shoves and punches out an official. Now, I'm not really certain how all that's going to work. I mean, is there going to be suspensions, fines? Who knows what it's going to be? Because, I can't find the audio clip. I had an audio clip set up and now it's not here. Anyway, the audio clip was going to be with these NFL reporters. They had invited on a guy from ESPN, and he basically told the tale of what happened in this game, and they were basically making fun of both, you know, the Jets and the Patriots, and how this should have never went down. It really shouldn't have, but it did. It did. I tell you, it's just crazy what has taken place so far this week. and also, hey, let me just tell you. As we quickly run this down, I've got a baseball thing to run through too, but very quickly. This Sunday is going to be, it's going to be watched very closely by the NFL, because starting Sunday will be the Texans' own Dallas Cowboys taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. St. Louis will play Atlanta. Minnesota will play Chicago. Oh, man, that's going to be rough right there. Carolina will take on Buffalo. Cleveland will take on Baltimore. Tennessee will take on DDP, your Houston Texans. Tennessee versus Houston. Miami will take on Indianapolis. San Diego will take on Philadelphia. Detroit will play at Arizona. New Orleans will play Tampa Bay. Denver will play the Giants. The 49ers will take on Seattle. And then the Monday night game. I'm telling you, this is going to be crazy because, as I told you all last week, what will take place on September 16th? I don't know. Because I don't even know if the NFL found a new theme song for Monday Night Football. Now that we're in regular season. Yeah, that's all I can say is, and everybody scratches your head and we're all in the dark. Do they even have a theme song for Monday? We'll find out. And last but not least, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're an umpire and you jump out of the way of the ball and you declare a ball fair. But yet you didn't see the actual where the actual ball went. How is that fair? It's not. Take a look at this.
Number two in the ball game. And he rips one foul. Bill Miller.
Wow. Now Bob Melvin's coming out. I don't think Bill saw it.
I don't think he did either.
And it's one of those I have to make a call. And Bob Melvin's going to smile because Bill's on the foul side. Does it land in fair territory? Is it on the line? Close. He avoided getting hit, but as he jumped towards fair territory, kind of blocked the ball a little bit. Now they're going to ask. And in this case, it's not going over the bag. It's where it lands because it went over the bag in the air. He couldn't see it. Okay, he was looking towards the playing field and went, what do I do? Dale Scott would have had maybe a better angle.
Yeah, the other two umpires are not going to have any angle to see it.
Dale Scott, the home plate umpire.
It wasn't real far beyond the bag.
Yeah. And I give Bill Miller credit.
And they're going to change the call.
Yeah. They're going to allow one run to score, and everybody's going to move up with ace. And all Bill Miller can do is be honest and say, Guardy, I didn't see it. I had to ask for help.
No, they're allowing two runs to score.
Oh, because they're giving him a double?
Wow. So Lowry's going to get a double.
Yeah, because they have to go based on what the result of the play would have been. And it was down in the corner. So again, Bill Miller is in foul territory, but as the ball is coming, he jumps and hits that shot. Well, it's right on the line. It barely got chalk. And so the fact that it went down on the corner, hit off the sidewall and turned into right field, they would assume it was going to be a double.
But the fact that they changed the call, that means another umpire saw it.
Exactly, yeah, because he asked for help. Now see, this is a better shot, maybe. Because he's jumping to avoid being hit.
It looks like it hit the chalk.
Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Somebody, another umpire has to say, I saw it.
Well,
and it was fair.
And as Bill jumped, his face was towards fair territory. It was not looking down to see where the ball was.
Bill Miller, you need to do a better job of being an umpire because clearly, this is how the A's got an even a bigger lead. Yeah, everybody on my side of the family was all, yeah, all right, the A's are winning. I was like, yeah. You know what? It's time for me to go home. My dad's like, oh, come on, sit down. You know you want to watch this game. I go, I don't want to watch this game. It's not my team. I'm a Giants fan. I am a solid steel Giants fan. But yeah, Bill Miller, he clearly was jumping out of the way of the ball. And then he goes, fair ball. No, foul. No, wait. It took him, the first half of the audio clip, you could probably tell that it took at least a minute before the announcement started talking. That's because everybody was trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Then Bill Miller turns around and goes, guys, I need the other six umpires over here right now. I need help. Was that fair or foul? I accidentally said it was fair, but maybe it was a foul. So they didn't know what else to do. So what do? They gave the A's a two-run homer. A two-run double. It was a two-run double. Michael Lowry's foul ball did not become foul. It became a two-run double because the umpire clearly did not see exactly which way it went, or they couldn't even tell from the television angle that they had on it. Bill Miller, I hope you get fired. I'm just saying that because I'm worried about my Giants. My Giants can't afford to lose any more games. We're not going to the World Series. It'll be my dad and the rest of my family's team, the A's. Good grief. This is absolutely ridiculous. You know what? I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we've got one of the most crazy, outlandish stories to tell you about the world's greatest announcer, Jim Ross. Is he fired or is this a retirement? Or what is this really? Who knows what this is about? I do. Do you?
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
The hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty says. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And, of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Man, I love these new Red Button Roast coffees. It is exactly what I need. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Tell me about it. This French vanilla one is a great way to start the day.
Did you just say, tell me about it and then keep on talking? Because I can't really tell you about it if you keep on talking afterwards.
And you did wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
I know. Tell me about it.
New Red Button Roast Coffee and Premium Breakfast Burritos. Now available with egg whites. This is how you Sonic.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Ladies and gentlemen, today we were talking about being fired. I mean, we talked about how this TV technician might get fired. Bill Miller, who's Major League Baseball umpire, completely lost it last night. I mean, on Wednesday night during the A's game, he wasn't actually paying attention to actually doing his job. We talked about, you know, the Patriots-Jets game. Some of those guys might either get fired or get penalized, fined, whatever. I mean, so much of that is taking place. But let's get on with this, shall we? As we keep rolling right along, right along. very, very quickly, though, I just have to say that, you know, with talking with some of you guys, including mostly with Coffee in the chat room, that this coming Tuesday will be the release of the new Grand Theft Auto, and I can't wait for that. But Coffee said, I don't think I really want it, unless I get it for free. Well, here's what the rumors that I've been hearing about it, is that the one thing that I hope is not true about this Grand Theft Auto game, ladies and gentlemen, is that there was a rumor going around saying that you'll be able to drive and fly your boat in the game if you give them, like, $15, $20 to rent the stupid thing, which would automatically defeat the purpose of the title of the game. Grand Theft Auto, you're supposed to steal things. You don't pay for shit. The only thing you actually pay for is drugs, guns, and, of course, the ladies, if you get one for free, of course, and like in San Andreas. But I hope that's not the case with this game. Because that would be really, really stupid if I had to buy a boat. No, I'll just steal the damn thing. That's what the game for anyways. We'll see what happens with that when the game comes out on Tuesday. But actually, this time on GameStop, major list of invite-only people, they're doing a Monday night midnight release sale. I might actually do that. Let's see, I go to school on Monday. Yeah, I don't have anything to do on Tuesday. Yeah, why not? I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to the midnight sale on Monday night, 8 hours before it even gets officially released. I just might come home and... Nah, I won't. I won't play no game after midnight. It'll be tempting. I'll be tempted to do it, but I won't do it. I'm trading in some games so that way I can do it, since I don't have the actual cash to get the game. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get back into this. WWE has reportedly informed several talents, including Nep Coulter and Vicky Guerrero, that all non-essential personnel will soon be left off of upcoming live events. The decision was made as a cost-cutting measure, with WWE doing away with the B towns to run larger arenas, which have a higher cost. This is all majorly happening with the company's top star John Cena is off the road due to injury. The cost-cutting move will not apply to Paul Heyman or Brad Maddox, who are both considered vital to the storylines right now. Heyman only works as a limited amount of live dates anyways, but is a featured heel against CM Punk right now. Brad Maddox has been the representative for the Triple H regime on the shows. It is unknown when Figueroa and Coulter will be officially pulled from the live events, but it should be noted that Coulter did not appear on last weekend's live events, which may mean he is already off the live events. This is the same thing that TNA Impact Wrestling did, as it simply doesn't make sense to fly talent in when they are not being used. Why? It's a complete waste of money anyways. Everybody knows that. That would be like me telling, you know, DDP or Coffee, all right, why don't you come up for the show tonight? Get ready for some wrestling. Bring your gear. But then I don't end up using them on the actual wrestling show. I'm the one who's the promoter in charge of all this shit. And as the promoter, that just means I officially screwed myself. And then Coffee and DDP are going to be like, I thought you said we were here to work. We ain't working. Can we get a severance pay because we didn't actually work? I'll be like, yeah. I'll send that to you in 2 weeks. You'll get it in the mail in 2 weeks. I'm very sorry. That would look really stupid on a promoter's part. So this is actually a smart thing that WWE is doing. Very good. It's about time Vince McMahon learned something. And let's see here. Well, WWE Divas have been featured on the Food Network. Yes, it's true. Both Layla and Alicia Fox will be appearing on the Food Network program Cupcake Wars on Saturday, September 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The two divas will serve as guest judges of a cupcake contest where the winners get to go to the WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view. But that's impossible because SummerSlam is... See, they screwed everything up. Former WWE superstar and one of the NWO founding members, Kevin Nash, will be appearing at the Funk Fair Wrestling Federation at the Elks Lodge in Brick, New Jersey on October 15th. For those of you in the New Jersey area. The Divas of the Total Divas reality star, the Bella Twins, are featured on the latest series of Self Magazine. And if you would like to please purchase the WWE magazine, not for Vince McMahon's, you know, profit or gain, but because there are some great independent wrestling superstars that are in there, some of which are actually good friends of mine, it's awesome that they're actually... I'm surprised. I found out through one of the local promoters here in the area that said that, well, Vince McMahon is actually having, you know, his editors for his magazine to start paying tribute to independent wrestling. Independent wrestlers should have had their own page in his magazines years ago. Like Jim Mora said in the audio clip, remember? Such disrespectful for some people. Yeah, that's a fair trade. No, it's not. Not even a trade at all. That you don't even use that. Now, let's get to the real issue. All week long, everybody has been saying, what is going on here? Jim Ross was fired. No, he's retired. No, he's fired. Well, here are some additional bullet points, and they are real bullets. From my own hand, I might add. These are my bullets. It's a pretend one, but I'm pretending that I have a 9mm in my hand to make these bulletin points about the Jim Ross retirement or firing went down this past Tuesday. And there's a big twist to this because it wasn't even a WWE event, yet WWE management didn't like what took place. And this is why Jim Ross and Ric Flair were fired. I know it sounds confusing. You're like, wait a minute. Why would they fire them if they weren't hosting the event? Yeah, it's crazy. WWE is calling the Jim Ross departure a retirement. But believe what you will, as some people will believe that. As I always say, if it's not true, wait for me because I will give you the truth. Some of these wrestling websites are true, some are not, and Vince McMahon is seriously not telling the truth at all here. But that doesn't seem to be the case with some people. This entire thing is steamed from the WWE 2014 synopsis in Los Angeles. The plan was to have Jim Ross and several others, along with Ric Flair, be panelists for the WWE new 2014 video game coming out soon. That took place at SummerSlam Access. Right after the event, there was talk that there was major heat on Jim Ross and Ric Flair, and both could be released due to it. Flair was pulled from a special SummerSlam Camaro, and they have no plans to use him in the near future now, because following the SummerSlam 2K panel, 3 weeks had passed and nobody thought anything about it. WWE sources thought they had blown over until this past weekend, because the rumors of Jim Ross, WWE future, started back up again over the weekend, and it was the topic of discussion at this week's TV tapings. There was talk that they'd be meeting with JR during the week, and that happened on this past Wednesday. Jim Ross arrived in Connecticut on Wednesday. Nobody could confirm why he was there, but there was a ton of speculation that he was about to be fired. Triple H, Michelle Wilson, who is one of the representatives of management, along with Stephanie McMahon and Vince McMahon, were the very select few people in the know. Everyone in Stanford thought that this was it for JR, as they had heard the rumors over the weekend. This release theme from Jim Ross not reeling Ric Flair in after things went off script at SummerSlam. Do you see where this is going? Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Ric Flair and Jim Ross went off script at SummerSlam at this little panel that they did before the pay-per-view. It should be noted that 2K Sports were thrilled with the media attention they received and were happy with the panel. It was WWE who was the complete opposite and were extremely upset. They had something in mind and it went in the complete opposite direction. It all stems from WWE corporate being pissed off and all the blame went on Jim Ross and Ric Flair. The company was especially pissed when Ric Flair mentioned Reed Flair's death during the panel. They were also upset when Flair mentioned that John Cena was a hardcore drinker. You know, because, well, nobody's supposed to know that John Cena is our star on television. And behind the scenes, nobody should know what's going on behind the scenes. Why not? Come on, Vince McMahon. Come on, Triple H. Stephanie. These are things that we as wrestling fans already know. So in the case of being fired or retired, it shouldn't matter whether you're fired or you're retired. The real problem issue here is that they're just pissed off just to be pissed off. Sounds like one of my neighbors I've been getting into it with here around the building. I'm ready to knock somebody's teeth out, Coffee. And 2K Sports is the one that was hosting the damn thing. They were in charge of the event. They were in charge of the panel. They were in charge of everything that WWE was not in charge of. And now you're probably sitting there going, wait, what? I'm confused. I will say it again. I will mention this one more time. 2K Sports, which are the sponsors and the ones creating the WWE 14 video game, they were in charge of the event that took place at SummerSlam's Access. And 2 hours before the pay-per-view, they were in charge of it. They were running the whole thing. They were even the ones in charge of running the panel, not WWE and not WWE management, which does make this kind of more confusing, doesn't it? But I'll settle you with this right now. They were thrilled, and as they got tons of extra coverage and media attention due to how crazy things got. But then it got even more weirder and more strange because 2K Sports, one of the executives, got up there and he got on the microphone and he said, well thank you. We thank you. This was a huge panel discussion, and the guys did great. Jim Ross, Ric Flair, others that are on this panel. And Stephanie McMahon, she walked up there and she literally now, if you were in LA, you saw this. She whispered to the 2K executive, and she rolled her eyes at him. And I'm sure you can probably figure out what was said. She asked him to leave the stage. Then she took the microphone and she apologized to the rest of the 2K executives after the event. And 2K Sports said they were fine with what went down. They were happy because all of a sudden, thanks to Ric Flair and Jim Ross and other people who were on this panel, hey, 2K Sports is the one that got all the media attention. WWE received none. There are many people rolling their eyes, and WWE is extremely pissed, and the company that was in charge of the event was happy with it. Well, so what? Then things got pretty tense over the weekend as the Jim Ross rumor started back up. Many were under the impression that he'd been fired once this week's TV tapings were finished. Although the meeting on Wednesday involved Vince McMahon and Jim Ross, we're not sure if Triple H and Stephanie McMahon were there, but things ended with Vince making the final call for the final curtain on Jim Ross. It all comes down to this. The point is, WWE was simply pissed that Ric Flair and Jim Ross didn't represent the company in the manner that Vince McMahon felt they should have. All the blame went on the both of them, and both are no longer affiliated with the company now. It's well known that you represent the company the way they want you to, and Vince said that Jim Ross and Ric Flair failed to do that, in WWE's opinion. The fact that 2K Sports, the company who was in charge of the event, loved what they got, including all the extra media attention, makes it even more mind-boggling that WWE wouldn't just let it go. Why wouldn't you let it go? It's not your event. Sure, you were the one, constructing the whole SummerSlam event itself. But as far as the panel discussion and the whole thing about talking about the video game, and you know that Jim Ross and Ric Flair, they've opened their mouth and added stuff on past, shows or things that have to do with panel discussions that don't actually have to do with what they're talking about in a panel discussion. So what? They've done it before. But now they ended up releasing Jim Ross in the end. So what are your thoughts on this? That WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross is retiring after 20 years with the company. He needs to focus on other ventures anyway, though. Notably, his barbecue sauce restaurant he wants to start back up. And yes, Vince McMahon did have a role in his departure. Exactly, Coffee, you're so right. Gotta welcome Kevin into the chat room. DDP and Guest 1616 are still with us. Thank you very much. But you're right, Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we love Coffee here on the NDB Media Network. You can't... I don't understand this. Everybody's trying to figure this out. Why would you fire two guys that had nothing to do with you? That had nothing to do with you. It's about 2K Sports. Yet Vince McMahon feels that I'm Vince McMahon and I have the power to fire you. You're fired. Yeah, brilliant, Vince. Brilliant. We're going to bring on Mr. Kevin. You might have some few words to say here. Kevin, how are you doing?
This is Mr. Kevin. How are you doing today, sir?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
I was just, and I'm in agreement with you on a lot of this stuff. I just tuned in to your show, but I love the topic and I love the idea. My show on Blog Talk Radio is called Truth on Tap, and I'm not trying to sell it. I'm just telling you that we come from an angle that is not sugar-coated. when it comes to firing of coaches or anybody else and any of the staff as you come down from the owner down to the water boy, a lot of that is quite symbolic in nature. You know, in my view, you have a rolling of heads, so to speak, that tries to show those that are paying the bills, the fans, tries to show them that you're doing something, because it's not so easy to show a new game plan, a new coaching philosophy, a new administrative lineup that's going to change the way your sports team performs and the results thereof. Am I in line with everybody else on that, would you say?
Yeah, I think you are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame them either. I've been, you know, I've watched my Washington Capitals flub and flounder since 1974, and the firing of head coaches and, you know, the firing of general managers. Right now we have a general manager named George McPhee. I believe his heart's in the right place, but we've given him so many opportunities to get this lineup right, so we got a real shot at a cup. And we're always missing something. You know, we get this strong offense, and then our defense gets holes in it. We get the strong defense, and our net is not tight. He can't put it all together at once. And as much as I love him, yeah, they do need to fire Mike Green. Mike Green is a slacker. He used to be great, but he has gotten lazy. I'm sorry, I saw that in the chat room, so I was just reading it out loud.
Yeah, I did too.
I do believe it's symbolic in most cases, and I can't blame them. I mean, what else can you do? What would you say is the best solution when you need to turn a team around or at least get them into the serious depths of playoffs without firing somebody? What's the solution there?
Well, you can try writing out new game plans, or you can simply, you know, do what like Notre Dame did a couple of years ago, where all they did was change the systematic of the game with replacing someone who was an assistant coach and made him a head coach and reversed the head coaching job to an assistant coach. And that's what made them better.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I say, it's not a bad move symbolically, but I think, you know, the average, let's look at the average bandwagon fan. Actually, I think most fans are. You know, you kind of watch your team. You don't get into the news too much of them. You know, you have your hardcore fans that know every player in the lineup, know every rule of the game. But the average fan is not looking for a new game plan. They're watching the game on Sundays. They're tuning in to NHL Network, catch the highlights. They want to see wins. So what else could you do for them when they're just skimming highlights of the news to convince them that they ought to keep buying your merchandise and tickets to your games and that they ought to keep tuning in, other than fire somebody? I think it's the most obvious and quick way to try to get results to maintain your audience or grow them without doing something that's more difficult. Firing one guy, that's, you know, I think that's a sacrificial lamb in most cases, but sometimes effective.
Yeah, because the problem has always been that, you know, like when I used to work retail a few years ago, they would say, well, what happened to this manager? He did such a good job. And I go, well, I guess they didn't like his style or whatever, and they get rid of him.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. Everybody gets replaced.
That's right. And it could be an attempt to turn the ship around, or there could be an internal battle going on there with power. I mean, you may have seen with the Redskins, for example, the Dan Schneider, I insist on, and Jerry Jones did it too for quite a while, I insist on getting right down there on the sideline and calling plays. That doesn't work with a good head coach. One chief, not two, is the way to do it. And with Dan Schneider, he really did want to get in there and push play buttons, and it wasn't working. No coach that's good will tolerate that. They can't think. It's, you know, you and I can co-host a show. We can do that. But you can't co-host a team. It just doesn't work.
Right.
You got to have one driver there. You will never have two guys in the front of a race car, both with a wheel. It's one guy. One guy on the gas, one guy on the gears, one guy on the wheel. That's what's going to make the win. And I think that's what happens in sports at large.
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's kind of the reason why it's disappointing for me. Because aside from NFL, I'm a big Raiders fan. But the problem with the Raiders is that when Al Davis was alive, he was trying to run everything. He was trying to operate the gas and the pedals like you talked about, and it just didn't work. And he would always come, like all the coaches would go, well, we have this game plan. We know what we're doing for Sunday. But then he come walking out upstairs and go, no, 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 we're doing this. And everybody went, what?
Yeah, yeah. I've got a good friend. In fact, on my show, I play his band. He's a drummer in a local band. I play his music at the end of all my shows. He's a Raiders fan big time. He knows, and he knows all those names and goes back in time to talk about where they failed and why they aren't becoming a real power and how come it's always, I don't know. There's a lot of disappointment each year as you go with the Raiders. You have these beautiful moments and then these sad, sagging moments and then this kind of just staying alive series of games. And I'm looking here, Coffee in the chat room, he was talking about the Cavaliers. He said, on the bright side, at least they finally let Simmon go. Amen to that, brother, because Alexander Simmon was the equivalent of a two-year-old. When he was in the mood to play, he played. When he got excited, he played. But when he wasn't in the mood to play, you had to have some kind of friggin' language barrier type decoding device from a Cap'n Crunch box to figure out what he wanted. He was a spoiled brat. The best wrist shot in the NHL, the very best, but wouldn't use it unless he was in the mood. Get rid of him. That's what I said. I'll take a rookie with heart any day over a pro with an attitude. On the other hand, the Alex Ovechkin, who we haven't talked about yet, I think he is a superstar, and he does perform more often than not, but he probably is getting paid too much. He's about to enter the backside of his career. I don't know if they're going to make a good run for the cup. He's got to do something. So as competitive as he is, I think the desperation factor is there. He needs, he wants a cup, so he's going to try to find a team that'll do it, even if have to get his contract bought out. Maybe I don't know.
Maybe we'll have to wait and see what happens with that.
Yeah, how are the Raiders looking this year? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay, but you know they lost the last three games so far.
Where's their weak spot, would you say, right now? Is it in the upper echelons of the organization, or is it right down there on the front line?
I think it's just mostly coming from the front office because they don't really know what they want. And now that Al Davidson's son is running the team, after last year, I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the game, but we were playing against the Tennessee Titans and he decides to tell the coaches that we need to go for it on third and long. I'm like, we're not going to make third and long. We need to do a field goal or punt the ball.
Mm-hmm. And what happened? They got sacked?
And, got sacked behind the line of scrimmage.
Oh, Lord.
And they got the ball back.
Oh, Lord. That's
I'm
the
like,
worst
you're not doing no better
outcome.
Job of running the team than your dad did. I'm sorry, but that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, with football, I got to admit, I've become a fair weather fan of the Redskins. Now, the only reason I even like the Redskins or the Capitals is because I grew up here, and I always thought you were supposed to root for the home team. That tradition is dead, as far as I can tell. But since about the year 2000, after the Redskins broke my heart 100 times or so in a row, I couldn't connect anymore. And my daughter had just been born, so I sort of just ignored football for a few years and started watching again in 2008, 2009. So I'll tell people. I watch football, and I guess I'm technically a fair weather Redskins fan. But if they lose, it's not going to hurt my feelings. I'm not putting any emotion into it, because now with the Capitals, I've always been by their side since they were first born, since I was old enough to say hockey. I've watched them 1974. But you know, when you get a loyal fan base, you can have a lot of people screwing up and keep your fan base. But when you get the bandwagon fan base, you got to keep them pleased. And I think firing is the first tool of choice there, whacking off heads.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the way it is, I guess.
Yeah. Mr. Coffee sounds like he knows a lot about hockey there. This Kovalchuk guy, I don't know. I think he would have been an awesome player, but you never know. When you get a young player that shows all kinds of promise, I'm thinking of people like RG3, all kinds of talent, but you look at him and you go, are they big enough? You know, football, the NHL, is a brutally large man sport. You're going to get crushed 100 times a day, and if you're not big enough and your bones and ligaments can't handle it, there's just no way to protect yourself against that. You got to be strong, got to be versatile and flexible, and you saw what happened with his knee last year, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of – there's no way to prevent something like that when you've got a more stringy player. I worry all the time. We've got a couple great players on the Caps, like – first comes to mind, Marcus Johansson, Mojo. excellent player. I love a Swedish hockey player. They have all the moves. They dangle. Their passing is stupendous. And when they come on and they're small, I start worrying about them. Matthew Perreault, he's probably our most skilled player, but he's small and he takes these big hits. And I'm thinking, I predicted the first time I saw him on the ice, I was at a Capitals game. I predicted he and Varlamov, the old goalie that went to Colorado, I said, they're going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I know it. And the only thing I'm worried about with someone like Perreault is his size. He gets clobbered a few times, his career's over. And that's something you always have to have in the back of your mind with a young player coming up. Will they get big enough? Will they really be strong enough? You know, it's always a gamble.
Yeah, really.
So,
really.
But I'm going to get on out of here. I appreciate you taking my call today. I will be a regular listener of your show. I enjoy the topics, and I think you keep it rolling very well. So I'll at least be in the chats, but I'll try to call in sometimes. And I appreciate Mr. Coffee here, whoever he is, for I assume it's a he, maybe a she, I don't know. But they know their hockey, so that's cool.
yeah, he does.
Yeah, but when is your show? What is the what are the hours that you normally run it?
It's from 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to 3 p.m.
And is that every day you do that?
No, only on Fridays.
Only on Fridays, my bad. Okay. Well, I'll be tuning in next Friday then. My show on Blog Talk Radio, which I go back and forth between Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. I'm trying to get my audio quality / call-in thing working. Is just about, it's about everything, but really it focuses on truth and politics and advertising, you know, disseminating good information based on research that isn't lies. So that's really our whole angle. We'll do that on psychology, sociology, paranormal. We do all that. So check us out sometime if you want to. I will
cool.
be tuning into your show, sir, and I will tell my audience about your show as well.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right. Take care.
All right. Later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Kevin. It was nice of him to call into the show. Yeah, Matt Broderick went to, you know, the White Sox game the other day. So what happened with that, Matt? Matt Broderick in the chat room? Ah, man. Seriously, though. But yeah, you know, it really doesn't matter now what... Everything that me and Kevin had talked about is true. Matt Broderick, I know you missed it there for a little bit, but we were talking about the Jim Ross departure at SummerSlam. It was 2 hours before the pay-per-view, and they fired Jim Ross, but it wasn't even their event. 2K Sports was hosting the event. And, yeah, it doesn't even make sense. But so long, Jim Ross, and, man, they just got rid of the best damn ring announcer in the history of sports. As we roll over next, now we've got to move over to a whole new thing. I can't believe it either, but it actually happened. It took place. They were out there. They were doing it in Canada, no less. Edge had made his appearance back to Raw, and I was like, "Yeah, all right. Let's see what the writers do." The writers actually did a fair job, as I can say. But they also left many gaping holes, and that probably had to do with what I mentioned earlier about their cost-cutting measures and things like that. And, of course, Edge is going to get cheered by the Canadian fans, because that's where he's from. And, yeah, it was good. Started off with Kofi Kingston taking on Curtis Axel. The writers actually let Curtis Axel kind of get over with the fans, but not really because he's still a heel, because he's with Paul Heyman. And so the winner by disqualification is Kofi Kingston. Dolph Ziggler took on Bray Wyatt. The Wyatt family, I tell you... These promos and stuff, it's getting better. It's getting a little bit better. Dolph Ziggler, of course, had three of them to contend with. Would Dolph Ziggler look good as a member of the Wyatt family? No, forget it. Alicia Alicia Fox, Layla, and Oksana. Yes, Oksana returned. The writers brought her back for no apparent reason. Against Natalia, Brie Bella, and Naomi. Now I know what you're thinking. You're probably like, wait a minute. What the heck is Natalia, Brie Bella, and Naomi doing on the same team when just a few weeks ago they were feuding with each other? Yeah, the writers are clearly messing up their own storylines again as it relates to the women of wrestling. But you just don't go messing up a storyline like that. What? No, I know what it is. Vince McMahon feels he can do this because they're just property. They're just women. They are not just women. Vince McMahon has always failed to realize that he's got great talent right underneath his nose, and for some reason, he can't smell it. I don't know why he can't smell what he already has. Do you want them all going to TNA? Then again, TNA might, you know, still go under. I mean, you know, some of them have... women such as Trish Stratus have said that, well, if they ended up bringing back... what was that? What was that stupid rollerblading show that they had back in the old days when ECW was around, Matt? I think it was Roller Jam or something like that. And it was basically like roller derby where you put some roller skates on and you just go around the circle, but you also have a chance. And they made a movie about this. I forgot the name of the movie. But Paul Heyman was in the movie as an announcer. And you have the opportunity to shove another woman or another guy off the rail. And if they get hurt, oh well, that they would do that. But no, they all choose to be in wrestling because they thought they would get better chances in wrestling. So anyways, Natalia, Brie Bella, and Naomi win in another 3-minute match. What's up with giving the women 3-minute matches? Doesn't make sense. Yeah, yeah. Matt says he remembers the movie. Yeah, I have the movie somewhere too, Matt. Coffee said, well, I can't believe the Panthers let him walk. Yeah, I know how you feel, Coffee. R-Truth taking on Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio is the winner. Santino Marella came back. Yeah, I know there's a lot of cheer in the chat room now. He took on Antonio Cesaro, and he won. So I guess with this whole thing, that it makes Santino Marella a bad guy now. Is he a heel for wrestling? Damian Sandow took on The Miz. Damian won. Randy Orton took on Goldust. It was a good theme. It brought back memories, I tell you. Memories of Goldust. His backstage vignette kind of wasn't up to par. I don't know if he kind of forgot what his gimmick was. But they just really ran through that super fast. I guess Vince McMahon heard what I said last week about the fact that they need to go back to 2 hours, not three. 3 hours isn't cutting it anymore because the writers and Vince don't know what to do with 3 hours. But it looks like they slowly found a way to at least keep my interest. Like I said, they probably heard what I said, and I don't care that they did or not. Rob Van Dam took on Ryback. Man, what a match this was. This one's an awesome match. Back and forth. You got the 6'8" Rob Van Dam taking on a guy who's almost as tall as the Big Show, Ryback. Rob Van Dam actually matched pretty well with him. Very well. And he won, too. Daniel Bryan took on Dean Ambrose. Daniel Bryan is the winner. But, of course, you know, they had to...
they had to let something happen. They let Randy Orton stand over him like he's the champion when he's clearly not. Matt Broderick said the season's all about the Bears. We'll see about that, Matt. We'll see about that. I already ran through the team in our NFL hour, which was an hour ago. You know who your team's playing, Matt, this Sunday? Matt Broderick ain't seen us into the chat room now. I don't know what to tell you, man. Yep. Oh, Coffee. Coffee went there. Coffee said the Bears are playing a bunch of scrubs. Wow, how do you respond to that, Matt? Wow. Coffee, why are you trying to start trouble anyways in the chat room? I thought you didn't even like coffee. I mean, NFL. I thought you only cared about hockey. And David so Kevin so elegantly pointed out when Kevin was on the line with us. Oh man. Hey, you only talk about hockey in the chat room, Coffee, so. Oh, you said they are playing scrubs. Oh, so now you're gonna be cheering for the Bears this year. Coffee's just saying that, ladies and gentlemen, in the chat room, because he knows that in reality, he wants to cheer for the Raiders, just like I do. All right? I tell you. Now, with this whole cost-cutting measure thing, as I mentioned during the Wrestling News for that time, just about 45 minutes ago. Yeah, several people. Deb Coulter is still on television, but you didn't see or hear from Vicky Guerrero. This kind of doesn't make sense now why they are cutting Vicky Guerrero down. Because, yeah, it kind of makes sense if you're not going to use somebody on the show, like I said earlier. But she's the SmackDown general manager. And I already told you that they're not going to do anything with Brad Maddox. They're going to keep him there because he's in the storyline helping the McMahons against Daniel Bryan. But Vicky? Well, okay. If that's what you're going to do, then that's what you're going to do. See, I knew it, Coffee. Coffee said, me? Watch football? Nah. He said, no way. I got better things to do. Like sleep. Yeah. That's what you're good at, Coffee. He's probably going to go to sleep right after this show. Man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what could be more apathetic to being fired than anything else? As I so eloquently mentioned earlier, with this storyline about the Big Show, everyone's saying that, well, you know, he needs the job and he needs the money, otherwise he's hurting financially. Yeah, great storyline. And now he's being forced by the McMahon family to take out Daniel Bryan at every turn. Every turn. We'll see what happens. I think that more than likely at some point Daniel Bryan will probably show through for the fans, because they have to understand that they can't keep running the same storyline over and over about this person not winning the title, that person won't win the title. You won't become champion because we don't think you would actually represent us on TV very well, being the champion.
Well, why not? It would make perfect sense. After all, remember what Kevin said earlier. It's about the fans who pay their hard-earned money. Sure, you can change the storylines up. But if you do it too much and you don't let the underdog become the underdog and win, then you're going to lose everybody in sight. I mean, hell, you already lost everybody anyways, ever since he went PG. And as some of you mentioned last week right here in the chat room, I appreciate those comments last week. Some of you said, well, why don't they just reverse the roles like me and Kevin were just talking about? They could either make the first hour PG and then the last hour TV-14, or they can make the first hour TV-14. Now, I like the first option better that you guys mentioned in the chat room last week. The first hour only the first hour could be PG. Because, hey, what do kids have to start doing now? They got to go to sleep and get ready for school. Which means the only people that are going to be allowed to watch the rest of the three-hour show anyways are a bunch of adults. They always say it's a male demographic of 18 to 34-year-olds anyways. As we welcome guest 876 into the chat room, welcome there. Coffee said, I want blood. I want violence. And I want barbed wire baseball bats. Yes, we do. We need that. We need it all back again. I know Matt Broderick and others would agree with you, Coffee. I certainly do. Because for the longest time, Vince McMahon felt like UFC was attacking him. So what did he do? He had The Undertaker and others start, you know, perplexing and copying the UFC themselves. When in fact, you remember when Dana White said on the show that I'm not against Vince McMahon. I enjoy Vince McMahon. He's a little crazy at times, but I enjoy his work, and I have nothing against him. He's in a different field of entertainment, as am I. So, yeah. Oh, God, no. Matt Broderick says, we want Mike Adamley. No, we don't. Coffee said, let's bring back the American Gladiators. That will give Vince... The American Gladiators, I remember that TV show. That will give Vince McMahon some competition. Or what was that other little show? I remember this show when we were kids, and you had to climb up certain things, and then they would give you weapons to use against another kid, and you would both be on top of the scaffold, just hitting each other with it, trying to knock each other over all the way down, and if you fell off, you would fall into the slime. The green, ugly slime. I forgot the name of that TV show. Yeah, right. Monday Nitro. That would only happen if WCW was still in business, Matt. It really would. But that's never going to happen. Coffee said, Double Dare. Man, we had a lot of good TV shows back then. We had a lot of better movies than we did, too, back in the 90s. Coffee, I've always agreed with you on that. WCW Monday Nitro was always better than WWE at the time when they were WWF. And people always try and say that, well, no, they didn't. They had no real reason of changing their name from WWF to WWE, which is a crock of shit. Because the real reason, and I will say it again, I said it 3 years ago, it seems like every 3 or 4 years I have to keep telling everybody why they actually did. People will tell you, they just had to change their name just because they just wanted to change their name. No, the true reason, and you can look this up, it's on Wikipedia, that the real reason, and I even knew about this even before Wikipedia was created, I knew about this way before the internet was created. Matt Broderick's bringing up all the old TV shows. Yes, those are good TV shows. But the real reason why they had to change their name from WWF to WWE, and I mentioned this 3 years ago, like I said, was because there was another hidden foundation out there. Maybe Kevin knows, maybe some of you have heard about it, but I never heard about it. I didn't hear about it until I was 14 years old, and I said, who the hell are these people? I saw one commercial in my lifetime about the World Wildlife Fund. And just because of that one commercial, they get rich off one commercial. They immediately attacked Vince McMahon and said, you stole our trademark. You son of a bitch, you stole our trademark. And as truthful as he was back then, he's not now, but he was very truthful back then in the 90s, and he said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And if I was old enough at that time to be an attorney, I would have been a special attorney for Vince McMahon and would have said, no, we don't know who these people are. And that's what the attorneys tried to do. They told a federal judge, we've never even heard of the World Wildlife Fund. We didn't even know that they existed until this one commercial came out. In 1995, it was just this one commercial. Then the federal judge said, you got to change your name, and you owe the World Wildlife Fund $26,000. I'm like, $26,000? With that money, everybody said, well, fine, you can have the money. We'll change our name. And that's what they did. And then other reports started coming out that, well, you've got little kids, you know, really beating the hell out of their siblings or their cousins or whoever. So now WWE's got to change their game plan. And now here we are in the PG era. Some of what happens in wrestling is fake, but other times it's not. But what they need to do is, they used to be a constructive show. They used to come on 30 minutes before the show and would say, well, what you're about to see, and we don't want kids to decipher it as being okay to do, but it's just wrong. It really is. Well, in that case, that just makes it a whole lot worse, because now we're in the PG era, and I'm still watching it, but at the same time, you know, it's stupid. But yet, you know, like I said, Triple H called the Big Show. You know, he told him on Monday night, don't be a stupid son of a bitch. I thought cussing wasn't allowed anymore in the PG era. They're still doing that. Come on. So, yeah, the first hour should be PG. And then the last 2 hours, since all the kids have to go to bed, since it's time to go back to school, just be TV 14. You know, the kids got to be asleep anyways, right? I know I'm right.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show, we'll be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000-calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried crunchy bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
And we we are back. We are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Guys, I have to tell you, during that last commercial break, it was awesome to see everybody chatting it up, starting conversations of their own in the chat room. That's great. You know, I don't mind that. I know there are other hosts who are like, hey, stay with the topic. Stay with the topic, damn it. Me, I it doesn't bother me that you guys change the subject. But I know you're listening to the show, just like I know my good friend Craig Brooks is listening from his local library with a bunch of headphones on. He tells everybody, he reminds me to tell you guys to bring your snacks and eat your favorite food. After this show, I've got two. I went to Burger King today before the show, and I got that 2-for-5 deal. So I've got two Whoppers to eat. Ah, shit, man. Hold on. Coffee, you believe this? I go to Burger King to get two Whoppers, a 2-for-5. They don't put no cheese on this. Man. Ah, oh well. I don't know, like I said 2 weeks ago, I don't know what's happened on this show, but ever since the year started, we've also incorporated food and other things and made each other hungry. Ah, there's no cheese on this. I specifically asked for cheese. I'm serious, Matt. There are no cheese on the first Whopper. I'll open the second Whopper after the show goes off the air. Don't worry, I'll stay with you guys in the chat room to let you know what's going on with that. Nah, Matt, I'm not gonna go get my money back. That's all right. I got cheese in the fridge. I can always melt the cheese down for 30 seconds in the microwave. I've done it before. So yeah. Anyways. Yeah, I know, Coffee. They've only sold 3 million copies. That's the way it is. Anyways, let's get back into this. Now, I don't even have to stress and tell you guys the other firings that have gone on in the other wrestling company. And no, this time it's not ROH. As I've been telling you all summer long, and this is our final show of the summer, now we got to start doing winter shows. Got to start getting ready for Christmas, as we always do right here on the Sports Opinion Show. But as our final show of the summer, I've been telling you guys all summer long that TNA Impact Wrestling, they've squandered down, and they thought they could at least start traveling and start acquiring all the big arenas that ROH and WWE and everybody else is getting their hands on. And for some reason, the big arenas don't want to sell or help out Impact Wrestling. Well, I know why. It's because they've got two idiots running the show now behind Dixie Carter, who, well, it's actually her company, yet she has felt, and she said it 2 weeks ago, right here 2 weeks ago, when she said, I have every confidence in the world that Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan can handle this. I'm still in charge of the company. Well, Jesus Christ, will you grab the horn by the bull by the horns, so to speak, and take your company back? Because now look. Last night was no surrender. You guys are like, what? Wait a minute, they can't do that. No surrender is the pay-per-view. Well, as DDP had mentioned in the chat room last week with all of you, remember DDP? DDP said it right in the chat room. That's why I'm glad that Block Talk Radio has a chat room, to keep the conversations like this going, and that DDP said last week that, well, it's because they're doing what WCW did. They're giving away the show for free. All the pay-per-views are now coming to TV, not pay-per-view. Yeah. The Aces and Eights gang thing that they had going on, it's probably already dead, yet they're still going to try and run with it. And I've been trying to find out exactly what is going on in terms of writing. What, did they secretly hire back stupid-ass Vince Russo to write for them? I hope not, because if they did, then they're in more trouble than we thought. But basically, yeah. A lot of people, along with myself, feel that the Aces and Eights storyline has been dead for a long time. I mean, hey, come on. Didn't Devon Dudley just get fired? In storyline terms, of course. Anyway, they're still going through with the whole Bound for Glory series. The semifinals last night took place. Austin Aries versus AJ Styles. AJ won the match. The semifinals Bound for Glory series number two, Bobby Roode took on Brutus Magnus. Now, the writers wanted Bobby to win to show his alliance with his other two cronies. And you know who they are, but that didn't happen. Some of the writers said, well, we've got to keep, you know, change the pace. We have to at least let one of the baby face, a.k.a. the good guys, win. So Brutus Magnus was made the winner in a last-minute decision by the writers, just mere moments before the show, you know, was taped and then eventually put on TV. Then the world title, the last man standing match, Bully Ray versus Ken Anderson. The writers at first thought that, and again with another change, that why don't we just have Ken Anderson beat Bully Ray? They said, no, it's too soon. And there was a lot of hell and a lot of backlash both behind the scenes and on the show because it turned into a hell of a brawl last night. I mean, is this really it for Mr. Anderson? Because, well, the ringside medics came out and they put a hard collar on Mr. Anderson and they put him on a gurney. And then Taz had the temerity to say, thanks to Eric Bischoff, who told him to say this on the air, I hope Anderson learned his lesson. That's what you get, boy. That's what you get. What, are they trying to make Taz a Texans now? Taz isn't even from Texas. Why are you trying to give him that Texas accent? Makes no damn sense. Matt Broderick said Dixie Carter should fire Hogan and Bischoff. She should bring in a couple of homeless men to help out the show. They would probably be better than Hogan and Bischoff anyways. Well, look at Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Before Hacksaw Jim Duggan became famous, he was a homeless guy, and now look. I mean, he made the millions of dollars in WWE there for a while, but now he's back down to just wrestling independent shows, but at least he's still making the money. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, a lot of the input that helped WWE in the 90s, along with Steve Austin and others, they wouldn't be getting these large payouts like they are today. So, hey, homeless people might actually work, you know? Go on the street and find a couple of bums and ask them if they've ever worked in television before. Who knows? And they might say, yeah, I used to be a TV cameraman. And, well, there you go then, Dixie Carter. You can just hire them. And so then they came back out and they said, well, Mike Tenay and Taz are doing the commentary. And they said, well, the finals of the 2013 Bound for Glory series is up next. So now this time it has to be the last two who were on the card anyways, AJ Styles taking on Brutus Magnus. And as much as AJ wanted to win, the writers came and told him, well, Brutus has been on a winning streak as of late. And, you know, it's company camaraderie. because we all know that it doesn't matter what line of work we're in, what our job title is. It doesn't matter if you're in retail like I used to do. If you work at fucking Blockbuster, oh wait, they're out of business. If you're working at Hallmark, trying to hand out all the cards. If you work in, like, McDonald's or something, it doesn't matter what you do, what your job title is, or where you are. You always have to do, always, you always have to do something that you don't want to do in order to put somebody else over. Because if you don't do what the boss told you to do about putting somebody else over, that's going to be your ass on the unemployment line. So, AJ said, well, everybody knows who AJ Styles is. They don't know who Brodus Magnus is. They know about his life and about his career here in the company. But other than that, basically what AJ Styles was trying to tell the writers, he was trying to remind them and Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter, he's known on the outside, but realistically, he's a nobody. So they ended up just arguing back and forth with him on this, and they finally said, you know what? Just do it. Do it for tonight, okay? Just do it. And so Brodus Magnus ends the show with a huge dropkick to AJ Styles for the 1-2-3, and he wins. And you talk about going off script. When AJ Styles shoved the cameraman out of the way last night at their quote-unquote No Surrender show, which No Surrender is actually supposed to be their pay-per-view, shoving a cameraman out of the way, I told you there would be a lot of big no-nos on the show today. That's another big no-no that they consider a form of disrespect in the wrestling business. I mean, sure, if it's scripted, yeah, but this wasn't scripted. Then he goes off and just starts saying, well, that's it. That's it. Even as he's walking to the back. What did he mean by that? Does he mean he's going to quit in real life? Or was that just another staple to add fuel to the fire of the storyline? Maybe and maybe not, because this happens to be leading up to Bound for Glory. But with the way that they're handling everything else, and I guess people forgot what I said last week. Everybody said, well, what happened to this person? What happened to that person? Hey, you know who wasn't on the show? What happened to Brooke Hogan? Well, she was unceremoniously released. They felt like they didn't need her anymore. And they're trying to think of a way to slowly take Hulk Hogan out of the picture. But Eric Bischoff is the one vying for him because they were long-standing buddies. And that's the way it is. You don't like to do what you have to do. You don't want to do what you know you have to do in order to prevent yourself from being fired. That's the way it is. In other words, you either do the job or you don't. And you can take your papers right now and walk out that door. And some employers will say, well, we'll think about you later on in the future. But depending on what your reputation is, if you are indeed being fired for just cause and they don't like you or something like that, then they will tell you straight up, or sometimes they'll tell you in an email. But some more than others will tell you to your face, well, now you know that we didn't like you, and there's the door, here's your papers, and don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. But it's It's so rude. Very rude, in fact. I'll tell you what's not rude. It's sending you guys off as our final show of the summer ends right now, and here you go. Matt Broderick knows what this is all about, because I kind of gave him a few hints about it. I gave him one hint, and he picked it up. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a very, very enjoyable summer with you all. This is my summer gift to you. Enjoy this. Take care, and we'll see you all back here next week for more of the Sports Opinion Show.
Everywhere around the world, we try to tell people there are no boys.